likes to receive good news, don't they? Right? It sure beats the alternative of receiving bad news.
Got that, Keegan? Okay, here we go. Can y'all hear me now? All right. Everybody likes good news. Whether it's finding out you're going to have a baby, you got a promotion at work, you aced a test that you were really worried about, or finding out that your cancer is in remission, everybody loves good news. Everybody loves to get good news. I heard one of my favorite preachers, Tony Evans, he told a story about a young lady that had to appear in court because of a speeding ticket. I'll share that story with you. The judge told her that because she got clocked going 75 into 55, that she had to pay the fine of $100. Now, obviously, this happened a while back because I know from experience that fine has gone up quite a bit. It's not $100 anymore. But during this time, the fine was $100, and the girl happened to be going through a hard time. She didn't have the money to pay the fine that she owed for the ticket. So she told the judge, "Judge, I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty, but I don't have the money." And the judge told her, "Well, if you don't pay the ticket, then we got to lock you up for the weekend." And the girl was visibly upset at this news, and she replied, "Well, I can't pay the ticket, but I don't want to go to jail. Can you please have mercy on me?" And the judge replied, "Listen, I can't change the law. The law says you got to pay the fine or spend the weekend in jail. Those are the rules. I can't change the rules." And so tears rolled down the young lady's face, and she said, "Isn't there something that you could do? I would pay my fine if I had the money, but I don't, and I'm scared to go to jail. Please have mercy on me." So the judge looked at her for a few moments, thought about what she was saying, and then he surprised everybody. He stood up from behind the bench, and he walked out from behind the bench, walked down to where she was and put his arm around her. And then he reached into his back pocket, and he pulled out his wallet, and he took a $100 bill out, and he placed it down on the table. And then he walked back up, and he sat down behind the bench again. And he said, "Young lady, you have been found guilty of going 75 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. The law is the law, and I can't change it. The law says you must pay the fine or spend the weekend in jail. But someone has decided to pay the price for you, so your debt has been paid. You're free to go." You see, just like the girl in that story, every single one of us and every single person that's ever lived, all of us have a debt that we owe, but we can't pay. And just like that judge did in the story, God stepped in and he paid our debt through Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, there can be lots of examples of good news that a person can receive. But the good news of the gospel is the best news that anybody could ever receive. Amen, church?
Amen.
That's what we're going to talk about this morning, the good news of the gospel. We're going to be reading in Romans chapter 10 in just a few moments. But before we do, let's stop. Let's quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, and go to the Lord in prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be in your house. It's so good to be with your people. It's so good to open your word, Lord. I pray now that during this time that we've come to the sermon, I pray that we would hear from you and from you alone. I pray that we would hear from your word. Your word is alive, it's effective, it's powerful. And I pray that it would work even now to change hearts and change lives. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to gather together and to open your word and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Everybody doesn't have that freedom around the world, so we don't take it for granted, God. We love you, Lord. And we want your presence to fill this place, God. Lord, don't let us just go through the motions on another Sunday, God. We're not here to see each other, even though we love seeing each other. God, we're here for you. I pray, God, that you would anoint us to hear from you and to respond to what we hear. Amen. All right, we're going to read Romans 10, 14 through 21. How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, they did. Their voice has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I'll make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. And Isaiah says boldly, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. Lord, we thank you for your word. So let me take just a minute to explain a couple of things from the text, and then we'll see how we can apply the text in our own lives. So we're still in this section of Romans, which is focused specifically on Israel. This letter was written by Paul to Gentile believers, non-Jewish believers, but these chapters are specifically about Israel. And Paul writes about how Israel had gotten a couple of key issues wrong. First, they hadn't recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And second, they didn't think salvation was available to anyone but themselves. They thought salvation was for Israel alone. So Paul, in this passage and the ones that have come before it, in chapter 10, he quotes several passages from the Old Testament to show everyone, including Israel, that salvation being available to all people everywhere, that's been God's plan all along. That wasn't something God decided to do after the cross. It wasn't something God decided to do in the New Testament. From the very beginning, God's plan was for salvation to be available to all people, Jew and Gentile. Here in verses 14 and 15, Paul lays out the process of the gospel. He actually lists the steps in descending order, and he lists them as rhetorical questions. So we got to keep that in mind when we're reading these verses. So if we twist them back around and put them in order, the steps go like this. God sends out a person to share the good news. So that person goes out and shares the good news. It could be one-on-one. It could be in a crowded room. It could be to an assembled crowd. It could be anything in between, sharing the gospel. Then people hear the message, and some believe and some don't. The ones that believe, then they call on the Lord for salvation, and they're saved. That's the process of the gospel, and that's the way that Paul explains it here. So we want to look at these steps in detail. We're going to see the three steps of the gospel that lead to salvation, and my prayer is that we'll see why it's so important for us to share the good news. All right, so here's the first step. Number one, the gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel must be proclaimed. The good news that has changed the believer's life is not meant to be kept to ourselves. It's meant to be shared with everyone, everywhere. And listen, this is not just something that preachers or missionaries are supposed to do. This is something all believers are supposed to do. We all have the responsibility to share the good news. The gospel must be proclaimed. Now I want us to look at another verse, this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think this illustrates this truth very well. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. To reconcile means we were all separated in sin, and because Jesus died and took our place, he reconciled us. He paid our debt. And God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Y'all say that with me. We are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You've heard it before, but some people, the only Bible that they're ever going to be exposed to is in you. Some people, the only church they're ever going to attend is in a conversation with you when you share what God has done for you. We are ambassadors for Christ. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I heard a story this week, the story of Brother John. It's a humorous story, but it makes a serious point. Brother John was a timid man, and he dreaded speaking in public. And so he was quite terrified on the day that he was asked to speak a message to his church. So he stood up before the church with his knees trembling, and he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say this morning?" And the crowd replied, "No." And Brother John said, "Well, neither do I." And he ran out of the church. Well, at the next church meeting, they asked Brother John, "Give it another shot. Try again." So he stood back up in front of the church with his knees knocking, scared to death. And he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And this time, they replied, "Yes." And he said, "Well, in that case, you don't need me to say it." And he ran out of the church. And so the next time they got together, they said, "Brother John, you can do this. We really feel like the Lord wants to speak a word to us. Will you do it again?" So he says, "I'll do it." So a third time, he gets up and he says, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" Half the crowd yelled yes, half the crowd yelled no. Brother John said, "Well, in that case, let those who know tell those who don't know." And he sat down. And so the crowd just kind of sat there, kind of stunned, like, "That's all you got? Let those who know tell those who don't know?" But slowly it started to sink in, and they started to realize what God had just told them through Brother John. The words began to hit home. Let those who know tell those who don't know. So if Brother John was here this morning, he could give us the exact same message, couldn't he? Let those who know the truth about the gospel tell those who don't know. That's what we do when we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. There's a famous quote. I've heard it several times. You may have heard it before too. It goes like this. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Anybody ever heard that? It sounds really deep and powerful, right? It's supposed to convey the message that the way we live our lives as Christians in front of other people is so powerful that we don't even have to use words to tell others about Jesus. The idea is that eventually people will see our good deeds, they'll see how we have peace during a difficult time. They'll see that we have joy in difficult circumstances. They'll see the way that we love other people. And they'll wonder what makes us so different. And the assumption is that we will win these people over with our lifestyle without ever needing to actually preach the gospel itself. It sounds reasonable enough, right? But it's just not true. Remember what Paul wrote earlier in chapter 10. he was talking about Israel. He said they had zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They didn't understand the truth about Jesus, and therefore they were still guilty in sin. They had never been reconciled to God. They were fired up about God, and we all need to be fired up about God.
Amen.
But we also need to know the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus is, what he did on our behalf, right? Paul expresses clearly in our text that the message has to be proclaimed. He wrote, how can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? Now, the word that's translated preacher here can also be translated herald, like hark the herald angels sing. It means one who has an important announcement to make. And it is in no way limited to being a message from a pulpit, to be a herald of the gospel, to be the type of preacher that Paul is writing about here. It's not limited to a pulpit. It's any believer telling other people about the love of Jesus. It can and it should come from anyone whose life has been changed by Jesus Christ. The gospel must be proclaimed. So let's look at one more scripture before we move on. This is 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always ready to let people know why we have hope in what seems like a hopeless world. Right? Always ready to tell them about Jesus. Given a reason for the hope you have, that's all you have to do to share the gospel. My former pastor likes to say it like this: the gospel came to you and me on its way to somebody else. So be prayed up and be ready to share the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. All right, the next step in the process of the gospel is this. Number two, the gospel must be received. So the gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel must be received. It can be heard. It can be read. But either way, the message has to be received. The truth sets us free. So it's important that people know the truth about God. It's important that people know the truth about sin and about redemption through the blood of Jesus. Listen to this verse from 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I don't think I put this one on the screen, so I'll just read it for you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you believe. So Paul wrote, when you received the word of God that you heard. See, the gospel must be received. That's why it's so important to invite people to church, so they can hear the truth of the word of God. That's why it's so important for believers to know God's word, so they can share the truth with others whenever the opportunity arises. Those are divine appointments. God gives us those from time to time. Opportunities to share the hope that we have with others. We need to give people the opportunity to hear and receive the hope of the gospel. Now, I was intentional in wording things the way that I did, because we have to understand that the gospel message demands a response. The gospel message demands a response. We can either accept it or reject it, but it's got to be responded to. Right? Just hearing the gospel is not enough. It requires a response. And that brings us to the final step in the process of the gospel. Number three, the gospel must be believed. The gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel must be received. The gospel must be believed. Listen, to believe is more than just an intellectual acknowledgement of what you've heard. When we truly believe the truth of the gospel, it's always followed by submitting and obeying. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, because nobody's perfect. We don't submit perfectly. We don't obey perfectly. But we do submit to God's authority, and we do obey His commands if we have believed the gospel. And we do those things not because we have to, but because we want to. To experience the love of God through salvation changes us. It makes us want to submit and obey. Listen to this verse from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Did I give you all that one? I've got it if I didn't. Here it is. For we also have received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. Two different groups, both received the same good news of the gospel, but it didn't benefit one group, and it did benefit the other. It benefited the group that accepted the gospel in faith. The ones who just heard it and didn't accept it in faith, it didn't benefit them, because they didn't believe. The gospel's got to be proclaimed, received, and believed. We can't pick and choose what parts to believe, because God has the authority, not us. Amen? Right? We might want the hope of heaven without having to take up our cross and follow Jesus, but we can't pick and choose if we can't have the one without the other. We might want the blessings of God, but not want to suffer like Jesus did, but the Bible tells us in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, because He has overcome the world. We can't pick and choose. When we believe the gospel, we believe all of it. This is God's word. He's the authority. I came across another illustration this week as I was studying. It's called $3 worth of gospel. I'm going to read it for us. It says, I would like to buy about $3 worth of gospel, please. Not too much, just enough to make me happy. I certainly don't want so much that I start to love my enemies. Right? I want ecstasy, but not repentance. I want transcendence, but not transformation. I'd like to be loved by some nice, forgiving, accepting people, but I myself don't want to have to love those that are different from me. I'd like just enough gospel to make my family secure and my children well-behaved, but not so much that my hopes and dreams get redirected. I'd like about $3 worth of gospel, please. See, when you say it out loud like that, it seems absurd. Who in the world would really approach living for God that way? But honestly, that is an accurate description of so many people in this world. And before I point a finger at anybody else, that is an accurate description of me sometimes. Sometimes I try to dictate the terms to God and say, I definitely don't want to go to hell, Lord, but I don't want to do this that you're leading me to do. I don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. He's God. This idea, give me enough Jesus to keep me out of hell, but not enough to interfere with my life. Hallelujah. That's not the gospel.
Amen.
And Jesus never made that offer in Scripture. You'll never find a discount gospel in there. There's no offer of an easier plan. Hey, if taking up your cross is too hard, just try this one. And on Black Friday, it's half price. There's nothing like that in the gospel. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Listen to John 15, 18 through 20. It says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. A servant is not greater than his master. The Christian life is not an easy life. There is no easy life. But the Christian life is the best life that anybody could ever live. See, it's human nature to want to take control and try to fix things ourselves, right? But life is out of our control. It's out of our power to fix. We might want to, but we can't fix it. That's why we have to believe the gospel message that tells us that God did for us what we could never do on our own. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to pay for our sins. Jesus rose on the third day. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. And listen, he is coming again someday. He's coming again to make all things new. That is the good news of the gospel. And when we believe that message in faith, it changes everything. I know that many of the people in this room, if not the majority of the people in this room, have at some point in your life, you've made the decision to accept the gospel by faith and live for Jesus. Now, maybe some of you haven't, and if you haven't, I pray that today will be the day of salvation, that today will be the day that you make the decision to accept what Jesus did on the cross for you. You'll never regret it. Amen. But for those of us who have made that decision at some point in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, are we sharing the gospel with other people? And if we're not, why not? The good news isn't meant to be kept to ourselves, so why aren't we sharing it? One more story for you. Everybody's familiar with the story of the Titanic, right? But you probably haven't heard of a man that was on board the Titanic named John Harper. So after the Titanic struck the iceberg and it began to sink, many people jumped off the ship into the icy waters below, and John Harper was one of those people. Now, Harper was a minister. He was traveling to the United States to preach. And so he began to swim through that icy water to the people that were in the water around him. And he began to ask them if they were saved. And if anybody said that they weren't saved, he would cry out, "Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." Now, that water was so cold that he literally only lasted minutes before he died. But he died telling other people about Jesus. Now I wonder if I would have done the same thing in that situation or a situation like it. Would I have spent my last few minutes trying to save others from spending eternity separated from God? Or would I have been desperately trying to figure out a way to save myself and live another day? What about you? What would you have done in that situation? There are literally millions of people in the world right now that have never heard of Jesus, believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And even if those people have decades left to live, their situation is just as desperate as those that were in the water that night that the Titanic sank. The Bible tells us it's appointed once for all men to die, and then the judgment. And for anyone to face that judgment without the blood of Jesus covering their sin, that's a horrifying thought. In our main passage of Scripture here in Romans 10, Paul quoted a passage from Isaiah. He wrote, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It's a beautiful sight to our God when we share the hope of the gospel with others. People need the good news of the gospel. So let's get busy telling other people the good news. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel.